Right now, we're all safer at home. But should you need a new vehicle, Hyundai has options to shop online, and a participating dealer can deliver it right to you. Plus, you'll make no payments for 90 days. To find out more, go to buyhyundai.com.
Get 0% APR for up to 84 months on the 2020 Hyundai Tucson and make no payments for 90 days. Visit your local Hyundai dealer online today. Offer ends June 1st, 2020. Call 224-661-0068 for details.
A message from your locally owned AAMCO Transmissions and Total Car Care location. We're open and ready to help solve your vehicle repair concerns. To protect you and our employees, we have implemented new curbside procedures to allow you to drop your vehicle without entering our center. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO for details or search AAMCO for a location near you. That's AAMCO, AAMCO, Transmissions, and a whole lot more.
No matter what type of business you're in, having a strong business banking partnership can help your bottom line. I'm Jeff Boundy, president of Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company. We strongly believe that trust, service, and relationship are the cornerstone of a successful business banking partnership. Customers like Chuck Kuhn of GL Precision Tube in Aurora agree.
Thanks, Jeff. GL Precision Tube prides itself on providing custom steel tubing in a wide range of shapes and sizes. Being flexible and responsive to the needs of our clients is crucial when competing with domestic and overseas manufacturers. My team at Cornerstone customized a suite of financial products to meet the unique needs of our growing company. With a line of credit, equipment financing, and cash management products, Cornerstone has helped me to maintain our company's competitive edge. That is why, since 2017, Cornerstone National Bank is the bank where we belong.
Thanks, Chuck. Please visit cornerstonenb.com, or I invite you to give me a call at 847-654-3000 to explore a business banking partnership. That's 847-654-3000.
Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cars for kids. KARS cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Radio.com Sports Station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Shout out to Felicia Middlebrooks on her rewiring, not retirement. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
James Fegan does a great job on The Athletic of covering the White Sox. I respect and love the role that Reggie Miller played. I appreciate his ability to somewhat rise to the occasion of the challenge of Michael and Scotty.
Like when he said at the end of the, I don't know if it was a preview or the end of the documentary, that they were the better team, and he still believes that. Like, why should that get under my skin 22 years later when the Bulls won the series? But it still does. Like, it was something like plummeting to me. That like, I turned to my wife, like, what? That, how can you be serious? That's ridiculous. And, but it should be settled, but it's not.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That was a really fun conversation that I had with James Fegan yesterday about it. It inspired two different things. One of them you're going to be involved with. You could be involved in the other thing, too. One, I did a whole podcast on Reggie Miller yesterday for LoHo Daily because I came to the conclusion that he is my favorite of the Jordan rivals, of the nemesis of Michael Jordan. Reggie Miller is my favorite. And I'm going to talk with you about that a little later on in the show. I look forward to your thoughts via text at 670-11. If you want to hit up the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai out in Algonquin. If you want to go get your Hyundai taken care of, you should take it out to them at rosenhyundai.com. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Glad that we are going to have the opportunity to sit and talk about a lot of things. There's some news in sports that we need to get to, which I will get to momentarily. Our buddy Jason Leisure is going to join us. There's a couple of Bears things that I want to ask him because he is the Bears beat reporter for the Sun-Times, but huge 90s Bulls fan. So I want to ask him about the Last Dance documentary. We'll spend some time talking about that. We're going to take a little bit of a departure at 1 o'clock. Occasionally, I like to do segments that are fulfilling to the guy with the history degree. That's me. Like, my undergrad was in history, and I love it when I can combine history and sports. Jacob Pomeranke, who is a researcher for Sabre, he is one of the main components of the Black Sox research team that they have been doing this Black Sox 100 thing. I want to talk with him because I think there's so much about the 1919 White Sox that we don't know, and it's one of those things that I'm really interested in, so I love to talk with people who know more about it than I do, and Jacob definitely qualifies. So if you're a baseball fan, like you love those stories, or you loved Field of Dreams or 8 Men Out, I think that you'll enjoy the conversation that I have with Jacob. That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Okay, let me get to the news of the day. The news of the day is that the NBA Board of Governors got together. They had their meeting, and it looks like Adam Silver has been on calls with some player representatives too. And the NBA is starting to approach the idea of coming back. And there have been a couple of different scenarios that play out, like the Biodome type deal. And the Disney one makes the most sense, but maybe they end up doing it at two different places where you have Las Vegas Summer League, where you could have people playing there, and you could have Disney World. The Disney World thing makes a ton of sense to me because it's not like you're going to just open the park back up. They already have the relationship with ESPN, so they already do games there, so there's already equipment there to televise games, because they've done it before. You have housing, you have parking, you have kitchens, you have all of the things that you would need to house some people for a little while. I also think that that system makes more sense for the NBA. I didn't like the idea for Arizona for baseball. I just think it makes more sense for basketball because of the amount of time left on the calendar. And they still have to figure out exactly what type of season is coming back. Is the NBA just going to resume the regular season, which ended on March 11th, and start there? Or do they just start with a playoffs? And what they've said is their hope is that they're going to try and crown a champion, because the other side of this, there's gloom and doom if they don't get themselves back on TV. That's one of the problems that they have. Now, most of this stuff is financial, and it makes sense. It seems like everyone on the NBA, for now, is on the same page of, okay, our season was abruptly stopped, and now we have an opportunity to maybe restart it, go straight to the playoffs, or finish out the regular season, whatever that is. And everyone seems to be kind of in agreement on it. I was talking with Herbie about this before the show, and I want to ask a question. You can text in your thoughts at 670-11 if you wish. It's kind of rhetorical, because I'm trying to work through it too. Why is it that it seems like NBA labor and NBA ownership, along with their commissioner, seems to have a better relationship than any other group? And specifically, I'm looking at baseball here, too, because baseball's going through something similar where they're starting to start their season instead of restart their season. And there's already this idea that there could be strife on the horizon in working out the financial aspect of getting baseball back on the diamond, even if that diamond doesn't have any fans inside of the ballparks. The opening of the books would probably help in that regard. That's my opinion on it. Herbie, why do you think that there's a better relationship between Adam Silver and the NBA owners and the players versus Rob Manfred, the baseball owners, and the players? If that's what you believe. I'm sorry, I spoke for you. I don't know if you believe that.
I believe it because it just seems like the openness, the willingness to change. We saw that with the social justice movement that happened a couple years ago, Eric Garner, and so on and so forth. It seemed like Adam Silver was open and listening to the players, getting the dialogue from them to know what they're feeling. And I think also, you know, the NBA is predominantly a black league, and he has to acquiesce to what the league and what the culture is about. If he had a adverse relationship, and David Stern didn't have that, but he wasn't as cool as it seems like Adam Silver is. Adam Silver seems like he's more adept to this culture, adept to listening instead of preaching. And I don't know with baseball. It just seems like there's a lot of different agendas with Major League Baseball because of the differing cultures that do bring into Major League Baseball, from the Asian culture, the Latin culture, black and white cultures. There's different people within those each of those cultures too. So maybe it's a little harder for MLB commissioner and owners to, you know, acquiesce to a single notion, a single culture.
It does seem like Silver is just a cooler dude, and we can't discount that. That if we look at Rob Manfred, and I think both, if you look at their rises to their commissionerships, it's similar, where you have both of these guys being attorneys, you have both of them kind of serving under the last commissioner, understanding, kind of learning the ropes of how to get the job done. It just seems that the people skills of Adam Silver are much higher than they are of Rob Manfred. There's also this latent kind of distrust that has been built in with baseball players and baseball ownership that I think is something to that can maybe account for this too. But even when the NBA gets stuff wrong, and they do, the China thing, they got wrong. Like, they didn't handle that very well, and even a guy as smooth as Adam Silver found himself fumbling over things. But let me tell you, during the All-Star game, I made it a point to go and listen to Adam Silver. I wanted to be in the room during All-Star festivities. I wanted to see what he's like when it comes to it. And I will tell you that a big portion of that press conference, there was a large portion that was on Kobe Bryant, and they had renamed the All-Star MVP award after Kobe Bryant. But a huge portion of that conversation with Silver was about the NBA's relationship with China. And at no point did he look frazzled. At no point did he look exasperated. He answered every question, and there were some pretty difficult questions in there. I could not see Rob Manfred being able to pull that off. And now we have to then add in, do the players trust ownership? And one of the issues of trust that goes on is, we don't know how much you make. We don't know. I joked about this on STL, on Sports Talk Live, with Cap yesterday. And it's because Major League Baseball owners are like this. If you and I decided that we were going to rob a bank, and then I said to you, we're going to split this up 50-50, but I'm going to count it, and then I'll give you your share, you'd be like, nah, fam, that's not how this works. We can split it up 50-50, but I'm going to be in the room when you count it all up. And that's the issue when it comes to the way that this goes. Herbie, can you load up the Mike Florio? Because I think that Mike Florio's sound on this is pretty interesting. I was reading his thing on Pro Football Talk, where he was discussing MLB labor and how this could play out publicly with the players and the owners if there is some delay to what now looks like an 82-game plan that might start around July 4th.
This is more NFL-centric than MLB.
I know, but he wrote about both today. So let me hear what he says on it.
Unlike the NBA collective bargaining agreement, which contains a force majeure clause that allows the NBA to say to the players, if there ain't no games, you don't get paid. And unlike the standard baseball player contract, which basically says if there aren't games due to a national emergency, these contracts are suspended, the NFL has no such protection, which gives the NFL Players Association a ton of leverage, because whatever suggestions the NFL may have to make to the players by way of a proposed adjustment to the working conditions. For example, we'd like to send the Rams to Las Vegas for the full season, and all the players are going to have to live in Las Vegas instead of at home in LA with their families. That's going to be something that will be negotiated between the union and the league.
And they might. That's actually something that is pretty much on the table. So when Herbie told me, like, yeah, there's some good Florio sound, I went back and I looked to see what he was talking about on Pro Football Talk. And basically, he talked about how with the way this is put together in baseball, that the players, here's what he writes. So either the players don't play during the ongoing national emergency and don't get paid beyond the $170 million that they were guaranteed when this whole thing happened in March, or they play and get full pay. There's nothing in the labor deal or the player contract that authorizes the league to pay the players less than full pay if games are played. That's the players' leverage, and they have every right to use it. His argument is that what MLB owners are going to do is they're going to wage a public relations war, and it's already started. They haven't even really put a proposal in front of players yet. And they're already making you choose sides. And that's where you find the governor of the great state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, without any real information on it, decided that he wanted to choose a side. And considering that he's worth $3.5 billion, whose side do you think he chose?
Given baseball owners have a plan to start games in July, what do you tell Major League Baseball players who want to haggle over salaries even if all the safety precautions are taken?
Well, I realize that the players have the right to haggle over their salaries, but we do live in a moment where, you know, the people of Illinois and the people of the United States deserve to get their pastime back to watch anyway. On television, you know, if they're able to come up with safety precautions, as has been suggested by Major League Baseball, that works. I hope that the players will understand that the people of our United States need them to recognize that this is an important part of the kind of leisure time that all of us want to have during the summer, to watch them play baseball, to root for our favorite teams. We need that back, that normalcy back, and I hope they'll be reasonable as they negotiate. But I must say I'm disappointed in many ways that players are, you know, holding out for, you know, these very, very high salaries and payments during a time when I think everybody is sacrificing.
Disappointed? Holding out? They haven't held out. There's been no firm, concrete negotiation that's taken place here. Oh, and by the way, since you're the governor of the state, are you going to allow baseball to be played? Because last I checked, I got an email from every one of the teams that says that we're staying home, so you should stay home. Are you lifting that? Because you're part of this too. But not a shock that he would side with the owners sight unseen. Sight unseen. Not even taken into account that one of the players, I thought, in Sean Doolittle, did a really good job of talking about not just the economic issues, but the health issues. And yes, it's very easy, and it's a populist take, for the governor to be like, well, everyone's sacrificing, so that those guys should sacrifice too. Well, how deep of a sacrifice do you want them to make? they'll make that choice on what's valuable to them financially, what the risk is worth financially versus what it's worth medically. But wow. I guess JB from the North.